Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I'm going to interview one of my very favorite ladies from the gram. I met her on Instagram, Dr. Naomi. So all the way from Australia, say hey, Dr. Naomi.
Hi, Dr. K. Thanks for having me.
So nice to chat with you virtually. And I can't wait for you to visit Los Angeles.
Oh, same. When do you think that's going to happen? When can we travel again?
Seriously, when can we be normal again? I don't know. I was supposed to be on a plane to Greece last week. My husband was like, well, we would be flying back right now. And I was like, how was our trip? I wish we had gone. Terrible. The entire world has just transformed in 90 days, I feel. Has Australia been the same?
Yeah, very simple, like a mini USA.
Yeah.
But without as many health problems, thank goodness. We didn't get too many cases of COVID, which was great.
That's actually good. I mean, Los Angeles was hit pretty hard. We had 25,000 cases and at least 2,000 deaths, and maybe more than that, actually. But my area in Pasadena was kind of sheltered, so it was not as bad. But it's just been a really interesting experience, the transformation that society has gone through. Have you guys been back to work already?
Yeah, we're back to work.
When did you end your quarantine?
So we went back to work early May, or a little bit before early May, but consistently from early May.
And have you had any resurgence of cases since everyone's back in the workforce?
There has been no second wave, thank God.
That's so encouraging to hear that, because we're right now in the middle of all the demonstrations and protests just as quarantine was ending, so it's a little worrisome that we've been congregating in large crowds. But I'm glad you guys are not experiencing that. Have you taken any special precautions in your clinic in terms of seeing aesthetic patients?
Our protocols have completely changed. So, we stop people at the door, we take their temperature, they fill out a questionnaire, they do a consent form before they even come in. We don't allow friends and family or children in the clinic, only patients. We reduce the number of patients per day. We're all wearing masks. It's very different. About you guys?
Yeah, we're doing the same thing. We've just now in the second week of seeing patients. And so very similar, checking temperatures, screening on the telephone, and then same, sterilizing the rooms thoroughly. We have an ultraviolet UVC sterilizer, which we use in each room. That's nice when we finish a treatment. And face masks and shields. It's just a lot. It's a lot. It's a different experience for the patient and the injector themselves, I would say.
Yes.
It's not nearly as fun because our patients love us. I know your patients love you, right?
Well, we love them too. It was really amazing to see them after quarantine, wasn't it? I bet you're just still feeling that. It was great.
It's so fun. Everyone's so warm and happy to interact, and it feels so awkward to not hug people. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's strange.
It is strange. And I've just felt that shield and extra mask in front of me is just makes injecting more challenging, but it has to be done. Beauty must go on, right? So which city are you in Australia?
I'm in Sydney.
And what is the craze right now? Is there any cosmetic things that are really trending? I would say in Los Angeles, people are talking a lot about threads lately.
Yeah, people are talking a lot about threads. I would say the hottest thing right now for us is actually, it's a skin booster and with a lightening property in it. So it's a really fine, am I allowed to say this on your podcast? I don't know. I won't be able to share it if I say any names, but
I'll guess.
So it's a really fine, like a filler, but it's a skin booster, so it's really fine, and you inject it under the eyes, and yeah, it's really great for crepey skin, for wrinkles, and for dark circles. So we're loving that.
That sounds like a low molecular weight hyaluronic gel filler, like Bellotero family or Restylane, maybe a thin version of that. So I know Bellotero has very thin versions available in Europe. Am I close? Am I guessing correctly?
Yeah, you're on the right track. But no, it's a different brand.
Well, so companies are coming out with skin boosters in the United States, hopefully by the end of the year, they're talking about, I'm hoping. And a skin booster is this amazing hyaluronic gel, like regular filler, but it's so fine that it just infuses the superficial skin with the dewy kind of youthful plumpness. I can't wait to try it.
Yeah, it's really great. The after photos honestly look like you've done Photoshop on it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really great though. And the lightening property is really great. It's a French brand.
Oh, okay. And how often are you able to do that?
So you do it a 3 times. So you do it today, a month, and then another month, and then you do it every 6 to 12 months after that.
Okay, perfect. And
people are loving it under the eyes, but you can put it on any skin, anywhere on the body.
And are you injecting with like a little injection gun or just with repetitive needle sticks?
So we do it in 2 ways, actually. I think by hand is the best. We have to buy these $20 needles. They're really tiny, and they're specially for that product. And we also use it as part of the cocktail in Aquagold. So do you guys use Aquagold?
Yes, I use something similar to that. I'm doing like a microinfusion facial. So sounds like what we've created before we have boosters is just Aquagold.
Yeah.
So very similar to that. So do you infuse any toxins in with that or you just do a skin booster alone?
So with the Aquagold, people can choose their cocktail and we often have a mix of the brightening skin booster plus some anti-wrinkle plus PRP.
Excellent. Now, are you doing threads in your practice there in Australia too?
We do a lot of threads in our practice.
Interesting. And how many injectors work with you now? Because I know when I first met you on the gram, I just knew about you. And then gradually you've added more and more people who are helping you to run your business.
So we've got 6, but hopefully we're getting 2 more in the next week. So we're recruiting right now. And there's 2 that I just love. So hopefully they come on board.
That's so exciting because that brings you like different areas of expertise and like it allows you to clone yourself, which I need to do personally.
Oh, it's not, it's much better than cloning myself because they've all got their own, you know, special skills. Yeah, no, they're all better than me in different ways. So it's better.
What are some of the innovative things you were doing? I think I saw on your website that you do penile injections.
Oh yeah. So penis enlargement is, okay. Can you help me explain this, Dr. K? Cause I cannot explain it. I can't explain it. Why are we more busy with penis enlargements after COVID? I don't know why. Tell me why.
Everybody's been at home examining themselves repeatedly, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. That's really weird. But anyway, we've had a bit of growth, so that's great. penis enlargement, it's quite an addictive procedure for the guys. I think they see that extra bit of size day one and they love it. They just want to go bigger.
Really? And you're using a gel filler and it increases the girth, definitely not the length, but the width and thickness.
Yeah, it definitely increases the girth. But if you look at the before and afters, it sort of holds it so it does look a bit longer.
Oh, really?
It does. They love it.
I would love to come and learn all that. Are you using toxins too in the male genital area?
That we have never done. We were asked to do it for a radio show. Yeah. But we didn't do it. We didn't end up doing it. So no, we've never done that.
Okay. Well,
have you?
Well, yeah, you've heard of scrotox, like scrotal Botox. So that I've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's easy. It's like multiple little pinpricks. It just creates a really smooth texture, and it hangs lower than everything hangs down a little lower when it's not clenched up. So
what sort of dose do you give, Dr. K?
It's micro droplet, kind of like when you're dosing a neck. So if you're doing little crepey lines all the way across the neck, I might do like 2 to 4 unit aliquots all the way through.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just low dose. And then some people are doing it at the base of the penis so that it actually, some of the suspensory muscles relax, and that gives increase kind of a length a little bit. But it's interesting how men are getting involved more in aesthetics.
Yeah, that's great. We've still only got 15% men, which we really want to increase. What's your male numbers?
I would say maybe 10%. It's a little bit less, but their men are the best patients. They're easy to take care of. They just stick with the schedule. You know, they're simple and straightforward. And very pleasant.
And they're great.
Yeah, the results are always great because they have the nice thicker skin, and like just adding a touch of skincare takes them over the top because they don't use anything. So excited to grow that in our practice. Well, you're a mom and a wife and a physician and a key opinion leader. How are you holding it together, and how was coronavirus? Did you have to homeschool?
My kids are 14 and 12, so they were really great. They were looking after themselves. My son's gone terrible in COVID. He's become a horrible person, the 12-year-old, but hopefully he's going to get a bit better. I took screens away from him because I thought he was a screen addict, and imagine doing that to a child in COVID. I feel crazy, but anyway. We survived.
I needed it. At one point, my kids took my phone and they were like, "Mom, you have 12 hours of screen time today on my iPhone." But literally, there was literally a time when we were so desperate for news of COVID that we were scrolling Instagram and going to WhatsApp and talking to our international group. So, but yeah, it's challenging to be a mom in the technology age, because literally the kids need technology to stay in touch, right?
Yeah, but he doesn't need games 10 hours a day.
What is he addicted to?
Roblox, Minecraft, the usual.
Minecraft, that's like, I don't know what they put in Minecraft to make it so addictive. Have you guys felt any of the recent turmoil in the United States in terms of you're married to a very handsome Black man, and I know all about the controversy, the protests and the rioting here. What are your thoughts, or how has it affected you there?
We've had 2 protests in Sydney so far, and all around Australia. So yeah, people are just really getting behind it.
Yeah, it's starting to settle down, but in the United States, it feels like maybe the beginning of some real, like, long-term significant change may occur, hopefully, other than just protests, I'm hoping. And then I've tried to change my Instagram focus a little bit to talk more about all types of skin types. Are you doing anything different with your social media?
Well, in our area, there just aren't many Black people. So people always say, you know, why don't you have as many Black people on your Instagram? But it's such a tiny percent that we just don't get the patience. So it's hard.
It truly is. And I think people self-select, like, even I ask every patient to be on in a video, but many times it's the ones that want to be on Instagram that self-select, and other people just pass.
I think that's the reason why I don't get older people. That's another criticism that I get. I don't get older people on my Instagram. So that the reason for that is because they don't self-select. And also males. I wish I could get 15% of males on my Instagram, but males say no.
They routinely say no. And maybe it's just they feel the peer pressure or the, I don't know. There is still so much Instagram hate. And, you know, I think that you deal with the haters so nicely. What is your advice to someone out there who's encountering Instagram haters?
Happens. Oh, I think you've got to say, great, it happened to me. It's because I have a lot of followers, it's because this post matters. It's just part of it. I think the stuff that's most popular gets the most hate, so it's just part of it. And actually, not worrying about it, just separating real life from online life. Sorry about that. I think it's separating real life from online life. If it doesn't impact on you in your real life, just doesn't matter. It's just words on a screen. Who cares?
Yeah. It's, I mean, you take it so personally when you're just starting out growing your Instagram and someone says a hateful remark. And I'm always so mad when they criticize the patient or they say something mean to this person who's sharing their face and their vulnerability and their experience. It's just awful.
Yeah, so, no, that triggers me a lot. I just block those people straight away because they don't deserve the content. And these patients are being very generous. And those people who comment horribly, they don't deserve that generosity.
Yeah, for sure. I'm lately, like, I used to want to answer very politically correct, and now I just say whatever I want, because why not? I'm going to speak the truth and say, you know, speak with passion, because they should not feel so open to say whatever they want. Very mean people. Like, I don't mind if people attack me, but I mind if they attack the patient.
Same.
Definitely. And then you've trended away a little bit from, well, I think you're focusing more on memes on your personal page, which is fun, right?
Oh, I've been actually having a bit of a rest from Instagram lately. So in the last couple of weeks, I've just been not posting much at all. But yeah, no, people love the memes, and it's a creative way for me to get my feelings out. So I love memes.
Well, it's very inspiring. You've got this whole fangirl club of injectors all around the world that you make us laugh. One of the first things I liked about your Instagram was that you didn't mind showing girls who had big vampy features, like big lips, big cheeks. Like, it's beautiful, and yet our industry is so apt to criticize it. Like, I am I'm a very natural girl myself. I'm a fan of all natural. But I also love, like, a vampy, you know, a big red lip. So I thought, I think you're one of the few injectors who is like, live and let live and show, like, those real sexy vampy girls. Like, why not?
Yeah, I don't understand our industry, how they want to, they really want to control how people look to their taste. I just think it's not my job to be a taste maker. I'm there to make the patients happy. And, you know, that girl with the huge long white blonde extensions, crystal nails, big boobs, I mean, what, she's gonna have tiny lips and be happy? She's not. She wants to be, you know, mm-hmm. vampy. She wants to be glam. She wants to be over the top. That's her personality. That's what she looks in the mirror and just thinks is gorgeous. Who am I to go, oh, you should be natural? I mean, that's silly.
It's interesting. It's like this very, very subtle, like you said, choosing people's tastes for them, but it's a very subtle social criticism of, like, anything that's not the norm. And then so many of our really respected and internationally famous injectors just are, like, up on the pulpit preaching about natural, 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 and, like, as if it's a sin to put a little extra filler into lips. And I'm all about natural too, and I think 95% of my patients want that, but for the 5% that just want to go all out, I'm there for them.
I agree,
bring that to the forefront, because really it's so critical, when it makes people feel like they're less worthy because they like big lips, or they, you know.
So I think it's like this, Dr. K. So if a patient comes in who loves natural, and am I going to, if my taste was big lips or whatever, and then I'm saying, well, you know, oh, natural. It's not like that. If a patient's taste is natural, great. Let's make them natural. If a patient's taste is glam, well, who am I to want them to do something else? But I see that as the same. So yeah. I don't know how so many people are, who they don't see it like that. They see their way as the perfect way. It's not.
It's maybe a reaction to so much bad filler being out there, because perhaps there is so much unregulated injection going on that people create ugly big lips. Now that's a bad thing.
Maybe that's what it is. I didn't think about that, but yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Well, we can't have poorly injected ugly looks that are big, because that shows even worse than, you know, but natural.
Yeah, that's bad. Know, that would be crazy.
Yeah, definitely. But I just think that, like, more the people out there lecturing should be a little bit more flexible in their opinion of what's good. Like, very often I'll see someone's face and they'll be wanting to do their jawline, and I'm looking at them like, but your under eyes are so hollow. Like, don't we want to do that? And I go with what the patient wants to do. You know,
of course we do that with what percent of patients? Oh, 80% of patients, we're not doing what we want to do. So yeah,
that's true. So that's when you see a patient, you do a whole beauty plan for them. Do you evaluate from bone, muscle, fat, skin, all the way up?
Yeah, that's exactly how we do it. So we just have a face design consultation. So we look at the bone, so how much is dissolved. We look at the fat loss, the fat repositioning, the fat, too much fat, too little fat in the area. Then we look at the muscles, and then we look at the skin. And so on top of that, we're also, in all of those levels, we're also looking at the symmetry, we're looking at the thirds, we're looking at everything. So the profile.
Interesting.
Are you using proportions?
An image analysis software like Visia or one of these imaging programs?
I've got a device buying addiction, Dr. K, but so I've got a Visia, I've got a 3D, a QuantiFiCare, but really I think the skill should be in the doctor's mind above anything else. So yeah, that's the most important in my opinion.
I agree. How do you evaluate for bone changes? I think that the more I look at faces, the more I think that that's one of the most important changes, is the skeletal underground changes.
Yeah. So, you know, you can see it. You can see where the orbits get bigger. You can see where the jawline changes angle. Yeah, you can just see it. And you know what happens with what age group as well.
Mm. Interesting. I think patients don't think about that at all. So
really?
Well, I don't see them, you know, they'll see the side effect of the jawline, you know, the bone contours changing, but they don't correlate it to that. So they're always puzzled when I talk to them about osteoporosis and bone density and calcium every day, those kind of things. So I think that's something we should bring into our conversations more with our patients. And it's a sad, like, an unavoidable thing, but maybe the next generation of redoing, of us, you know, treating faces will be some way regenerating bone growth in areas or stimulating bone growth, which maybe we do when we touch bone with needle, right?
Maybe. And can I ask you a question?
Of course.
I want to know what's hot in Pasadena. What's hot for you guys? So threads.
Well, people are very seduced by the idea of threads because of Instagram and the idea that you can undergo a procedure and get like a facelift-like result. But I really think that threads are not new. They've been around for 50 years and they're just having a little resurgence. And I remember threads were popular when I was in residency in 2000 or roughly then. And we did a lot of threads, and the ones that work best are the ones that are surgically placed. So they're placed very deep with precision and anchoring, you know, anchoring major fat pads that are descending. So I think threads are great, but I think that oftentimes when they're placed in a, in like a spa by someone who's maybe not as trained in surgical anatomy, that the results don't really last. So that's what we're finding. Because I see a bunch of patients who have failed threads. Like, they tried the threads, they've come in, they lasted, you know, nice results for 6 or 8 weeks while things were swollen, and then it just doesn't last beyond a 6 month result. I don't know. What's your
experience? Yeah, so you've got to get the expectation right, that's for sure. And I think if people are wanting a facelift, they should get a facelift. The threads, our most popular threads are actually the collagen stimulating threads, not the lifting threads. So those results are more like
sculpture results.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are the PDO threads, which have a material that creates the new collagen everywhere you lay them, and you put lots and lots of threads, and that seems to be really effective for like making more padding and good tissue turgor. But I think people are seduced by the idea of the threads that pull and lift, actually.
Yes, so, they are.
Yeah, this year on my Mastery of Aesthetics course, I'm going to do a whole module on all the different types of threads and like really kind of evaluate how to do them best and try to teach that a little bit better. But
good idea.
You're doing a teaching course as well. What is it? Tell me a little bit about that you're putting together.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not? I thought you were writing something as far as
teaching. Oh, I know. What a mission.
Yeah, it's a fun project.
Is it?
It is.
I think it'd be a lot of work.
It's a passion project. It is a lot of work, but it's been really fun and educational to put together. So my Mastery of Aesthetics course, and I have like more than 20 modules right now, and I just keep adding different content as I learn it, and whatever I'm doing, kind of working on that.
So, oh, good effort.
Yeah. So threads are popular. Lasers have never left popularity. Over quarantine, we did this pretty at home peel, which I developed, which was really fun because we shipped it a custom peel out to patients. They did a FaceTime consult to figure out what to put in their peel. And then they did a FaceTime when they received it, and they walked through all the steps with our esthetician. So that was super fun because I think it was a very, stark time during quarantine when we were thinking we would never leave the house. So we had another month at home. So that was really fun and popular. Peels and brow threads are popular. Everybody was talking about the Bella Hadid kind of cat eye look for a while. Those are kind of the trends that I'm seeing. And maybe sculpture for butts as well. So you guys, do you have polyl-lactic acid, which is Sculptra in the United States.
Yeah, we do.
And you're doing that for body contouring?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Okay, I predict that to be the next wave, body contouring. So I think this year there'll be a big focus, like now that our faces are covered with masks, like maybe we'll focus on the temple, the brow, and the body. But it's been popular in my practice to do sculpture for butt augmentation as well as for body contouring.
Yeah, the other place on the body which I think is really a hot area is the neck. So both types of biostimulators in the neck, not the one you were just talking about, but the other one is our preference, and it's great.
So in the United States, I think she's referring to calcium hydroxyapatite, the RDS. Hopefully. Did I guess right?
Yes.
Calcium hydroxyapatite. So in Australia, they can't say brand names. That's why Dr. Naomi's being so
weird.
Which is crazy. But then the more I think of it, then maybe we should be doing that in the United States too. Like, why do we plug these names of companies? Like, they're not paying us anything extra and it's benefiting them, but not benefiting us. And maybe we just need to like let the patients know it's a product as a product, and I'm going to choose the right product for you, versus they come in and tell us that they want X brand or Y brand. You know, it's interesting to practice that way in Australia.
It's horrible, Dr. K. You wouldn't like it.
Really? Why?
Yeah. It just feels like you just never can be transparent. It's horrible.
Hmm. Yeah, it makes it confusing for patients to get educated because, like, for them to learn the chemical structure and exactly what compound is being used and how, it essentially makes patients, like, left out of the educational process, yeah. I think.
Yeah, they call it advertising, but we can't give education or information. Whatever, even if it is education and information, they'll still call it advertising, and we can't do it, which is really, it's horrible.
Yeah. Well, I love that product too. The calcium hydroxyapatite is great for, I call it a neck wash, where I'm using a hyper dilute version of it. How much dilution are you typically doing in yours?
I'm not sure what they do. I don't do the procedure myself.
Oh, okay. But it works wonderfully for, if you have very thin, crepey skin, we might dilute it like 2 parts to 1 or sometimes 3 parts to 1. And then that is a very liquidy solution that gets washed through the entire neck, and it creates this nice neocollagenesis or padding. And I don't know why the neck skin gets so crepey. It's so interesting and awful. I don't know what other solutions we have, because people ask and I literally look at my own neck and I'm like, I wish I had better. But the radio frequency is great for that, tightening the neck skin, and the hyper dilute calcium hydroxyapatite, that's really great too. So I think that's
in Europe they have Profhilo, which they all rave about, so
yes,
looking forward to that.
We're getting some new products in the United States coming out soon, like maybe the 6-month Botox, and different versions of the, you know, the very thin skin boosting fillers that are coming too. So I'm excited to hear more about that. But you
tell me about the 6-month one, the 6-month anti wrinkle.
Well, it's not yet FDA approved, and I think everything got slowed down due to COVID. But it's predicted to have equal efficacy to Botox, but lasts 6 months, not 3 to 4. And I can't really say too much more on the details of that. But I did do a podcast with the CEO of the company, which is going to come out right at the time that they announced that they're coming out. So we'll talk more about that. But that, I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm not sure. I kind of like to see patients every 4 months. And I think if we push it to every 6 months, that's probably fine. Like, maybe in reality, that's how often I end up doing my Botox by the time it wears off and I realize that I need it. What do you think?
Probably the only negative is that the complications will last longer if you have them. So that's not good. But
that's true. I know that you've had some plastic surgery yourself that you're very open about. What are your thoughts about, you know, how I think sometimes patients are kind of unrealistic about what filler can do and when they need to switch to surgery. And I don't know, what are your thoughts about that?
I think probably in someone who's already volumized perfectly, and then they're looking quite saggy and old, then it's time, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also the neck area as well. The neck area, you know, if you're really super saggy there, it's time for some surgery.
I think that's like the dead giveaway. Like when you have significant jowling or, you know, neck tissue that you're constantly pulling back in the mirror every time you go to the bathroom, you're pulling back on your neck, that's a sign. Because I think people feel that fillers do a lot, but they definitely have their limitations. And I don't mind a big lip, I definitely don't want to get like filler face patients, you know? So I like the idea that you're so open about, like, when you need surgery, you do surgery. Because being a surgeon, that's one of my favorite tools. anything planned coming up?
You mean surgery-wise?
Surgery. You're so open about it, so I hope you don't mind if I ask. But
oh, God, as if I care. Of course I don't care. No. Well, I think I grew a little bit of fat on in my submental area during COVID. So I don't want to have under chin lipo again. But there's just a tiny bit of fat there. I need to diet, but I'm looking at it thinking,
Oh, and I don't want to have fat dissolving injections. That they were, I had to have those 3 times after my neck lipo. That worked really great, tightened and lifted it. But now I just ate too much.
Well, the masks are, you know what, Kybella is really popular right now, the fat dissolving shot, because of wearing the masks. So this week I have so much Kybella in the office.
Yeah, we've found that as well. Fat dissolving has been very big because people are working from home, so they can get away with the swelling.
Exactly. And they can wear the mask. That's so popular. But I don't know how you're going to do that with fashion. You're a fashionista, so mask look is not working with fashion.
Oh, no, I'm a slob. Since COVID, I'm just tracksuits every day, and I'm loving it. I don't want to go back to normal life, please. I know.
Leggings every day, but, you know, designer leggings. Well, it's been so fun chatting with you from very far across the world. I can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your busy schedule. And I hope you'll come visit me soon in LA.
I'd love to.
And everybody who wants to follow you, where can people find you on your various handles?
So you can find me on at Dr. Naomi One and my clinic you can follow is at the Manse Clinic.
That's MANSE, the Manse Clinic.
Correct.
In Sydney, Australia. And Dr. Naomi, you're very inspirational. You keep me laughing. You're right on top of the times. And I think your finger's right on the pulse of our industry. So thanks so much for all your insight and your friendship from afar. It's been lovely chatting.
Thank you for having me, Dr. K.
My pleasure. And that's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram doing amazing things with people's faces at Beauty by Dr. K. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. And that's it for now. Stay beautiful.